But we'll
Also,
see.
speaking on that, like, what time is it going to be when Rutgers or whatever goes and plays
Right,
UFC in New
right.
York? What time is that going to be?
I don't know.
11, 12 at night before it starts?
You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
Welcome back to everyone to our podcast, the Fox Den Sports Podcast, along with my three lovely sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. I am Todd Fox, and we are the Fox Den Podcast. And today marks our 81st episode. What player do you think of that wore the jersey number 81?
Randy Moss.
Do you remember who he played for when he wore that?
It was New England, wasn't it?
It was.
I think of good old Kellen Winslow Jr. with his time at the New York Jets as well as the Miami Hurricanes.
I will go with Calvin Johnson, wide receiver, new the Detroit Lions. Arguably one of the best receivers of all time. Sadly, just like Barry, played for Detroit. Didn't get a lot of wins, you know. But I remember him. I think he was like the pick before or the pick after Adrian Peterson. So they were both one of the better offensive players of their time. So,
well, why don't you look that up while I'm telling you mine. But no, Calvin Johnson, fantastic player. Just like what he could have been if he would have been on a really good team. Unfortunately, he was not. My number 81 is Terrell Owens. Even though he was kind of a troublemaker throughout his career, he produced when he played. He was extremely good. Played for San Francisco, then went to Philadelphia and Dallas. And I know he ended up with Buffalo and Cincinnati, you know. But after that, I think that may have been it. But I know he tries every year to try to come back at some point, hoping he can get back. But there's no chance to up there in age. No, I don't think he could do it. But 81 for me. Terrell Owens. Did you ever figure it out?
I guess he was picked second. Overall.
He was high. So, do you have the draft right there in front of you?
I can look it up.
I'm interested in seeing, like, through Peterson, because I mean, some of those teams honestly should have taken Peterson.
So it looks like first pick. Oh, yikes! That was the Jamarcus Russell year. So one of the biggest busts of all time.
Sure.
Number three, Joe Thomas, just went to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What, a couple nights ago. Gaines Adams for Tampa Bay. Can't say I've heard of him. Levi Brown. Can't say I've heard of him. And Laron Landry.
What teams? What teams were those?
Tampa Bay, Arizona, and Washington.
Good grief, man. Peterson could have ended up. He ended up in a good situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. Been great if he would have been a Raider. Even better if he would have been a Detroit Lion. But Calvin Johnson worked out pretty well for the Lions. I mean, from a productivity, they just can't win. They couldn't win. They just had a very bad organization. Very bad organization. Let's talk a little Big 12. You know, not, and it doesn't just have to be Big 12. You're talking Big 12, Big 10. There's all this movement going around right now with these teams trading or getting out of the Pac-12. I know it was announced Oregon and Washington are both going to the Big Ten, correct? And
yeah.
Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah all going to the Big 12. Along with, obviously, I think we talked about Colorado a few weeks ago. So what are initial thoughts on that? I mean, you're going to have, in my opinion, you're going to have two major big-time conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC. And then you're going to have right underneath that, it's going to be between the ACC and Big 12. And that's just football, but I think Big 12 will be really good in basketball. What are some thoughts originally when you first heard all this news?
I think the first thing is just obviously football, because that's what makes college football or college NCAA money. But like with the new playoff format of 12 teams, like I'm very, very interested to see how that plays out now. Because you can see now, like the third team, best team in the Big 12 or the second best team in the Big 12 making it, when arguably they're not as good as the fifth or sixth best team in the Big 10 or SEC. Like, I just think it's going to be very interesting to see how they do that whenever you have, like you said, two mega conferences. Big 12 is going to be pretty right behind them, I think, especially with their competitiveness in every other sport and getting teams like Utah. I mean, Oklahoma State, now we have no idea. They could pick up steam, but they'll still compete in football, but it's not going to be at the level like SEC where you're, and Big Ten, where you're scared every week, no matter what team you are, essentially.
Now, it'll be interesting with Oklahoma State. I mean, the best football teams in that conference, it all depends, in my opinion, if Dave Aranda sticks around at Baylor or if he gets a bigger job. The guy, Matt Campbell at Iowa State, and they kind of took a little bit of a dip a little bit last year. K-State.
Also, K-State's on the come up for sure. But Oklahoma State, too, like even with the four-team playoff, I think they were like one game away from making it.
Yeah.
2 years so far, yeah, like throughout this time. So like once it goes up to 12 team, if they just put together a couple of good seasons like they have in the last, I don't know, 8 years or whatever, however long the college football playoffs been around, like they'll be relevant for sure.
No, I agree 100%. They'll definitely, Oklahoma State continues to play, you know, as long as Mike Gundy's there, I believe. If he leaves, we'll see. It just depends, because that's a stepping stone school, really, you know, for most people. For him, he wants to stay there, which is fantastic for them. So they need to keep him there as long as possible. I don't know if depends on, it'd be fun to see if Deion Sanders can turn Colorado around. I kind of have a feeling like if he turns them around, let's say in a couple, 2 or 3 years, that he'll be gone to a bigger school. I hope not. I'd like to see him stick around there and turn them around. But it'll be definitely interesting to see. I think basketball, just think KU, Baylor, I mean, Texas Tech's been pretty good. Houston.
Arizona,
BYU, you know, just BYU's like just one of those blue-collar teams that just kind of, they just kind of beat up on you. They're just usually just big guys. Utah used to be really good at basketball back years ago, whenever, I think in the 90s, Rick Majerus was the head coach, early, like 2000 time frame. So I think from basketball standpoint, even K-State's been turning around. They'll be fine. But what's going to be interesting is the Big Ten now. I mean, you've got USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington all going there to go with Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and what, Wisconsin? Those are probably the four best programs in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah. Did you say Penn State?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think on the Big Ten side, I think the funniest thing I've seen so far is that when USC decided to make that move with just UCLA, they figured that that would solidify them as like the only essentially destination to go on the West Coast. So now that Oregon and Washington are going, it completely just eliminates the main reason they decided to make that move. And now, I mean, as a lot of people are seeing and complaining, like you're going to have to travel.
Yeah.
From West Coast to East Coast, essentially.
I agree.
For a quick football game in the middle of school.
Gannon, Kellen, you guys got anything to add?
I mean, I was just thinking it's like cool how these things are going. I always like whenever like sports organizations are trying to like advance and take steps forward. But is it not like bad that everything is so top heavy now with the two powerhouses? Like it's so top heavy. There's no balance, I feel like. And I don't know, like, obviously it's probably more money, but it's got to be bad, right? Like, however many years from now.
I would think so, but the way, I don't know what it was, but the way you said that made me think, honestly, it could be a, like, a countering of all the blue bloods of NIL. Like, because NIL, everyone's thinking the talent's going to get spread across a lot more, which we've seen it has, honestly. But now, all these big teams, blue bloods, and high marketed teams switching conferences to try and lock up, again, more recruits and stuff like that. So honestly, I can see that being a big reason behind the curtain is just them wanting to get rid of just the little guys again.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that. That's a good point.
I think it's TV deals that have a lot to do with it, because they get a lot of revenue off of the TV deals. So you got to sign with the two biggest ones right now, Big Ten and SEC. I really think Big 12 will be right there. I do. I think the ACC is going to crumble, but it may be a little bit, because I don't know how any of those teams can get out, which I'm sure they'll figure something out. There'll be some kind of buyout of some sorts. I don't know. I just personally, I hate to see it, because all these teams spread apart from so much time zones, you know, and then, like you just said a minute ago, like all the traveling, and like, can you imagine, like, Oklahoma plays in Gainesville, Florida? I mean, not that we go to road games, but you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be some people that it'd be tough to go, and more expensive to go.
Well, also, most schools, other than football, most of them drive.
Yeah.
You're right.
If I'm not mistaken.
No,
and even
right.
And even some football teams. Like, so that's alone, like, absolutely insane. I saw Arizona State's average travel for football is 1,100 miles. And that's just them on kind of close to the conference they're in already. So, now, absolutely insane, but
Kellen, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. Sometimes I think I like the tradition of just having all these, like, if we lose the Pac-12, like, they've been around for over 100 years, that's kind of crazy. I also sometimes think there should be a limit. I think 12 teams max in a conference would be cool. But also, like, if you just go from, like, take away the money and think about the students, I think it'd make more sense for conferences to be close together because of the traveling. Because you think, unless you're going pro, like, you're still in school, and if you're doing all this traveling, that's going to be affecting your grades. So unless you're one of those few college students that's going to the NFL or the NBA, the rest of those people, their sports aren't going to make them that much money after college. So I think it'd be cool too. You have these teams that you never play against unless you get to a bowl game or the playoffs, and you have these teams from other divisions that you just never you haven't seen in years. That I just think it just would make way more sense than stacking everybody into the SEC.
No, I agree 100%. I know I've heard one prominent person on the media talk about the Big Ten, how cool it is because now they're going to have teams in some teams in the Eastern time zone, Central, Mountain, and the West, or, you know, Pacific time zone. But I understand what they're saying, because it'll be, you know, you can have a game start early and you can have four or five games, boom, boom, boom. But 75% of Americans live in these Central and the Eastern time zone. Obviously, Eastern is more. I think Gannon and I looked it up. It's in the 40s, 40-something percent, 45% or so, because I think it was like 29%, 30% in the Central time zone. So most of the people live in these two areas. So where it just makes sense that to me, not to have to sit there and go back and forth, for all these kids and the traveling piece of it. Obviously there's going to be people that are going to travel, make that commitment and make that, that journey. And that's, hey, kudos to them. I think it's great. Even a trip to even a trip to like, you know, Ole Miss or Alabama, Auburn, it's a little ways away. So,
but we'll also see. Speaking on that, like what time is it going to be when Rutgers or whatever goes and plays USC in New York? What time is that going to be? 11, 12 at night before it starts?
No, I don't think they would do that to him. I don't think they would at all.
But USC doesn't play any home games hardly during the day because it's so freaking hot.
Interesting.
Generally.
I'll tell you what's really interesting, how you talk without your lips moving. That is so cool. If anybody hasn't seen that yet, it's pretty neat.
Watch the YouTube to get that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a...
Would it not just put the game at the regular Eastern time zone? Because I know for,
that's what
I know
they're going to do. For
NBA, like if a game was on West or East, it just caters to whatever the home is.
Exactly right.
So it might be like a 3 p.m. game for West Coast.
It's possible they could do it at 8 o'clock at night in the on the East Coast. It's possible. Not saying they won't or they will. My guess would be 7 o'clock kickoff would probably be the latest. And that would be that'd be 4 o'clock. Yeah. And on the Pacific time zone. So, I know there's a lot of TV sets out there in the Los Angeles area, but the Mountain hardly has anything. I mean, I don't know how many big towns are in the Mountain. I really don't. I just know Denver is there. Other than Denver, I don't know the answer to that. So it's like hardly anybody. I shouldn't say hardly anybody, but you know, it's just not very many people in the U.S. live in that Mountain time zone. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I know, I don't know. I just think I like what Kellen said, 12 teams. I want to show at some point, not tonight, get my information together, like what I've put together, like what I thought should happen along the ways, how many different conferences there should be. I think I had 6 quote-unquote super conferences, but you know, instead of what do they call the 5 now?
Power five
would be like a power 6, and then there's 2 smaller ones that get a chance to play in the playoff. And I think I said I think it was a 16 team playoff, which I'll be honest with you, I think that's what's going to happen eventually, is it'll turn into 16 instead of 12. I don't know how soon, but I think that's what'll happen.
I mean, I couldn't tell you who. I've seen people saying that the committee's talked about not negotiating, but I guess just talking about again how many teams they should have with all this switcheroo and stuff. But I don't know. I still think in every conference, SEC, Big Ten, whatever, there's still only going to be 3 to 4 teams a year.
Right.
Or not a year, but consistently. Like SEC, it's still going to be Georgia. It's still going to be Alabama. And then with us and Texas coming into the mix, we'll see who the other two are. But Big Ten, it's still going to be Ohio State, still going to be Michigan, still going to be Penn State, and then maybe USC. So I think the only differentiator and everything is obviously the head coaches.
Sure.
And other than that, the players are still going to commit to the same teams that they probably would have. Like, it's not going to be a whole lot different. You'll just see teams like the middle pack of the SEC now fall off. And then I think you'll see a couple of risers, like we were talking about earlier in the Big 12, whether that's Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Utah, getting more consistent in their, you know, years of good football. But
no, I agree 100%, but it goes in waves. Alabama was up, then they went down. They went.
Yeah, it will. And you'll see once a year, like that one team who comes out of nowhere with all their seniors and stuff, and then they graduate, and you don't hear about them for another 5 years. Like,
it's all about the coach. College football, it's all about the coaches and how they can recruit and get their best players, and then coach them up. You know what I mean? So when Saban leaves, who knows what's going to happen? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I saw this statistic saying we were the second best team in the country percentage-wise of getting 3-star players and getting them to the draft. But we're also like bottom 10 of bringing in five stars and getting them to the draft. Now, obviously, that's previous head coaches, stuff like that. Stoops didn't get a whole lot of five stars. Lincoln Riley did, but we didn't see a ton of, like, I guess, his starting players to the end. Like, we only saw a couple of them. But
right.
So we're really good at getting those small guys that nobody really wants to develop, but the high-profile guys, whatever it is, we just historically have had a harder time. But
I'm telling you, though, I really think Venables, as long as he can coach these guys.
Oh, yeah, and we've seen
him building a solid, solid team.
Just look at the
right
defensive players in the NFL right now that have played right. for him. Like, it's a solid group. The only other 100%. Team that might be better would be like Bama and Georgia.
Right. He can obviously coach. He can coach defense. He built it at Clemson, built defenses. If he can build our defense that way too. I don't want to sit there and act like we're not going to have an issue with offense, because you never know. But I think Levy's fantastic. I think they keep getting the right kids in there from the offensive side, make sure they get the O-line with Beedenbo fixing that offensive line. It's just there's something about that. I guess I don't know if it's the decision-making or organization. I don't know what it is. That's where I think we're still waiting to see with Brent Venables. And I put out a tweet on my own personal account today that talks about the similarities to year 2000 and then 2023. So in 2000, Bob Stoops was getting ready to coach his second year, just like Brent Venables getting ready to coach his second year. Oklahoma had Josh Heupel, a left-handed transfer quarterback who played the year before for the team in a disappointing, you know, I mean, it was 7-5. We were excited then because we stunk the 3 years prior. Now this year, we've got Dillon Gabriel in his second year, left-handed quarterback, once again, a transfer. Could it be? Could the stars align? Because our schedule, to be honest with you, I'm not busting on chops of other teams, but it appears on paper, but you know how that goes, that it's a quite a bit easier than years past. Now, I know Texas will be a challenge. I think going to BYU will be a challenge, and there'll be some other games. Could it be, though, that we have a shot?
I think you're right. I mean, obviously the only one that really makes you raise an eyebrow is obviously Texas, but
yeah.
We should be, obviously, Arkansas State, should be SMU, should be Cincinnati, Iowa State, UCF, Kansas. Oklahoma State's still a toss-up, but obviously, sure. The way we beat them last year and with everything they lost,
yeah,
we obviously should still win that. And then I think it would really just come down to the last three games of not just randomly dropping one for no reason between sure. West Virginia, like you said, BYU, and then TCU, who's had some returning players, but they also did sure. lose quite a bit of importance from the championship last year.
I agree 100%. And Kellen or Gannon, do you have something?
Oh, we don't have a shot.
What's that? You don't think
having an easy schedule is what's got us into the mess in the past. So even if we made it to the Final Four, we're not going to win anything.
I don't disagree, I don't disagree. I'm not gonna, but you never know. Like if this team just kept building and then getting better and better with the more reps and practicing, you never know. Number one, number two, like you said something about Texas, how do we know? You know, like last year, it would have been a completely different game if Dillon Gabriel would have played. Now, I still think Texas was the better team and they would have won, but it would have been closer. What happens if Quinn Ewers, I don't want him to, but I'm just saying if he were to get hurt, what would happen? You know, to that game. So there's things like that that you just never know that that could happen. But I think it's quite a long shot. Oh, that's another thing is we were in the coaches poll. We're ranked number 19 from the coaches. Well, in 2000, the coaches ranked us number 20. So there's so many of these similarities, and that doesn't mean squad. I get it. It's just interesting to see. A lot of these type of things are kind of lining up, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and the second-year head coach. But
yeah,
what if you guys had to pick four teams to make the playoffs right now, who would your four be?
Alabama.
That's Georgia. Interesting because like Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State all have new quarterbacks. I think USC is one of them.
I think those four are.
I agree.
Easy,
USC
the answers. I think Alabama and Georgia for the time being are locks nearly.
Until somebody beats them, yeah, I agree with you.
I think Ohio State, they have the best wide receiver in college football. And just
interested in seeing who their quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, but I feel like I could go out and throw to him.
No, you're right. Okay. I mean, I don't disagree. It's most likely if you were, I would say Ohio State, but USC and then what am I trying to say? Alabama.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see USC go number one and then go down to we're getting more teams this year, aren't we?
Yeah.
So they're not going to make it far, but they'll probably win. They'll win a round or two, but they'll lose to somebody like four or five, I'm sure. But I could see USC being number one just because I don't see them losing little games like they did last year.
What do you mean get more teams? What do you mean?
Well, there's more teams in the playoffs, so I was going to say they lose to Alabama four.
No, that's next year. That's next year. I thought you were talking about the Big 12.
I think they lose to Alabama. Yeah. Alabama's going to be number four. Alabama stomps them in the playoffs. A Lincoln Riley
they're
special.
You're right, because, I mean, they're well – Alabama and Georgia are well coached, got good defensive schemes that shut down, like, USC's kind of – I don't know. They're just not as tough, if that makes any sense. And I think Ohio State, all three of those teams are tougher than USC. USC back when Pete Carroll was there, and even before that, John Robinson and John McKay back in the day, those were tough teams. But unless Riley turns it around, which it's possible, but he hasn't shown that yet.
I mean, they have a pretty respectable schedule this year. They have to play Notre Dame, USC, Washington, and Oregon. So if they make it with only one loss, I mean, power to them. That's a tough schedule.
But we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think Alabama and I think Georgia are both going to have a loss sometime in the regular season, and Ohio State as well, because they've got new quarterbacks. And regardless on who it is, every year, each team has at least two, sometimes three games, regardless how good you are, that you have a little bit tougher time. Sometimes it's at home. Sometimes it's on the road. How are these guys going to perform in that kind of pressure situation is what I'm looking at. And I just honestly think it's going to be tough for them to go undefeated. Now, I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion. What do you think?
One thing I'm wondering is, at least like with a lot of the NBA superstars, like they don't actually win their first championship till their late 20s.
Yeah.
Which is like relatively late in their career in a sense. So like, because you said Riley really hasn't proven himself, which is true. But is that a common thing with coaches too? Like it might take them a few years of losses, then they figure it out, and then they go on their winning. Like, or is the natural coach a winner since day one and he just unleashes?
No, I mean, it took Saban plenty of years, and Kirby's been at Georgia for several years too.
Yes, like, I'm wondering. So like, well, Riley's still, this was his fifth year, sixth year as like the head coach?
Guy, I think this will be his sixth or seventh. Yes.
Okay. So I mean, it's quite a few years, but he's still like
right
early-ish, especially compared to all these other top dogs. So like, I was wondering if there's good a couple question. Of years, honestly, just still growth, and like then maybe it clicks, and then he's on a roll.
I feel like the biggest difference to me would just be the fact that like they're in, it's not like they're being drafted in there. They're around college football. They're usually offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators. Right. They have, or sometimes some guy pulled from the NFL. Like,
you know, that's
I just wasn't sure if there's still obviously room for him.
Well, Saban coached at Michigan State and did pretty well, but I mean, he obviously wanted to get a bigger program, so he went to LSU. I honestly don't know how many years he was there. I don't think he was there that many. And
what year did he win it? Because he was at LSU for only four.
Yeah.
So 2003
is when he won it with LSU.
So, okay. So he coached about, I mean, like that said, seven, eight years.
So this could be, to Gannon's point, this could be
within a couple years, Riley.
Now, Stoops, go ahead.
Well, did any other coach though consistently come in, look really good, and didn't like
that's true too.
Lose it all in the end every year.
I don't know.
It's
I mean,
consistent thing for him.
Stoops won it in a second year, never won it again, but he did go to three more championship games.
It's so, kind of the opposite. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I mean, honestly, man, that's a great point. Cause I mean, Tom Osborne, of course, this is way back. He didn't win any. He won three national titles with Nebraska, but it wasn't until Switzer left. And I'm not blaming it on it. I'm not saying it's because Switzer left, but I mean, that's whenever they just kind of ascended to a better program. Joe Paterno, I couldn't tell you how many years he won or he played or he coached before he won. Steve Spurrier, same way. Urban Meyer is a guy that comes to mind that kind of won pretty early after Utah. Yeah, he was really good at Bowling Green in Utah. And then he went to Florida and won fair. I don't want to say real early, but it didn't take him too long. And then went to Ohio State. I think he was a fantastic college coach. Obviously, he bombed out in the pros, but from a college standpoint, man, that guy could coach football. And same thing, Mack Brown. Mack took Mack Brown a little bit too to win at Texas. And I'm trying to think of all the daggum schools that have won titles. But to Gannon's point, I mean, it's true. I mean, all it takes is if USC had a defense, a scary type of defense, that'd be scary to play. I mean,
but I feel
really
like that's
would.
Been. That literally has been the story of Lincoln Riley's career.
Oh yeah,
if he had a defense, we'd be competing more.
Yeah,
but he's gonna get will get somebody in there. I promise you.
Well, yeah, I mean this year he's got the best defense he'll ever have. So really? We'll see if it makes a difference or not. But talent wise, he's dumb for still having Grinch, and I don't understand that. But
yeah,
I think it's just loyalty. Is what I think. I think he's loyal.
He probably just promised him he'd keep him for a couple years or something.
No, I agree with you, Kellen, but I mean, I really do think that he's loyal. True, he didn't have any loyalty to Oklahoma, but I think he was loyal to Grinch. I think. I really do. I think he's loyal.
I think he knew if he pulled Grinch, he had a lot of pull in the players that he already got committed to OU, as well as the current players at Oklahoma.
For sure. And it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I can't wait. It's like, what, how long is it? 2 weeks?
24 days?
24 days, 3 weeks?
23, 24, yeah.
So, I cannot wait for college football to be here. It'll be exciting. What are you guys looking forward to the most? Other than, I mean, I'm obviously looking forward to Oklahoma playing. Sitting here today on the 7th, I would say a 10-2 record. You know, I think we've talked about that before is what I'm guessing. But we shall see. But I'm looking forward to see how these other guys like the Ohio States, the Alabamas and Michigans play with new quarterbacks. Doesn't Tennessee have a new quarterback too?
Yeah.
So that'll be something to see as well. Though there's always that one team that kind of does a lot better than everybody thought. I don't know who that team's going to be. Last year, TCU shocked everybody. I don't think anybody had them ranked very high.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. But...
Well, sure. And I agree 100%. I would love to see if Michigan could do something. I mean, Harbaugh's the kind of, he can take you to the dance, but they just can't, they can't knock the door down or whatever. I don't know how, you know, stinks. What do you think?
For me, it's probably just quarterback play, because multiple guys have a good year next year in the draft, we could see six top 10 picks being a quarterback.
No kidding. I know Caleb Williams May. Who else?
Ewers.
Oh, yeah.
Penix Jr. Yeah. Yeah. This Joe Milton guy. And, I mean, hypothetically.
Don't say it.
All right.
Let's hear it. Who?
If they win 10 games and it's because of him, Rattler.
You never know.
And they have a good team that they could 100% win 10 games and get into the SEC championship.
Slap that on Instagram right there.
All right. I'll do it. But also, too, like to your point, also new quarterback play for big powerhouse schools like the Ohio State, like the Georgia, stuff like that. I mean, and Tennessee now. But
I'd like to know the last.
And Bo Nix is another quarterback to add to that top 10.
Or is he at Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I'm interested in seeing it because I don't know when the last time we had like these, you know, again, last time we had these like programs like this, all having new quarterbacks at the same time. I'm sure it's happened, but it seems to me like if they were looking for parity, it's not happening. It's like the same teams keep just rolling right now.
And next year it's going to be the same. Like us, Texas, Alabama will need another one. Tennessee will need another one. Michigan will probably, I think, need another one. So yeah. It'll be interesting.
I can't wait to see
it's getting a lot more revolving.
Oh, can't wait to see.
That's him. Yeah, I know. That's the nothing against Gabriel.
I know.
I love him a lot. That's the only way I can see us having a hypothetical undefeated record is if Arnold's just that good and he comes in. You know what
He's
I mean?
He's the real but deal.
Other than that, yeah.
I agree.
That's 100%. All I got.
Well, I know the Fox Den appreciates everybody listening to the podcast this evening. I know you guys have a lot going on. You're listening to the podcast. We're going to have another one out later on this week as well. Garrett, give a little sneak peek on what that podcast is going to be.
Yeah, some of you guys might remember our legendary podcast last year where we ranked, top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. A lot of hot takes, a lot of heat going around. I, so far, am personally the only one that's seen the lists. There's quite a difference in multiple players where...
Is there really?
Yeah, there's multiple players that some people it's towards the bottom, some people it's towards the top. I was surprised. Some I agree with, some I don't. But anyways, it's going to be a longer episode. It's a yearly special century. Essentially, last year, it was our great debate episode. So if you haven't listened to it, go ahead and check it out. Well, another one coming out this week.
And remember, it'll be on YouTube channel as well. So subscribe to that. You'll be able to see it right whenever it gets put out. And make sure you do that. We've got Twitter account that Kellen's running right now. I think it's the X account now or whatever you want to call it, but it's Twitter to me. There's a Facebook page, Fox Den Sports. Garrett's in charge of the Instagram, correct?
Yeah. Also, this next episode is going to be more accustomed to the YouTube video just because we'll have the
slides,
we'll have slides and show going of all the different players and everything like that. So if you have time to watch probably an hour and a half YouTube video, or you can just listen to it while it's on, either way, but it's definitely going to be more accustomed to the YouTube channel.
It's just always fun once a year to just show my kids who's boss on the rankings. Cause it's, I always win. So pretty neat. I like to win. I thought I taught them how to win, but then again, I forgot that they're going up against the greatest, and that's myself.
I'm trying to think what you've won in recent years.
Huh?
I'm trying to think what you've won in the recent years.
Man, I've won a life. I hit the lottery with life. Gorgeous Ma, three outstanding sons, and then cute little C, man. That's what I won at. But again, we want to appreciate everybody for listening to our podcast. And remember, iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the Skulk.
Until next time.
Goodbye,
everybody.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.